We'll now call to order a study session of the Mesa City Council for Thursday, December 13th. The first item on the agenda, Councilmember Summers is still out of town and will not be joining us by phone until the regular meeting. So he's excused. The first item on our agenda is to review tonight's City Council agenda. So we'll begin items 3A and 3B. Items 4A through 4E. Items 4F through 5B. Items 5C through 7A. I think, Mr. Wesley, you have...
Yes, Mayor. I left at your places a letter we received from the applicant with item 6A, asking that we pull that from tonight's agenda, and we will put it back on the agenda on your January 10th meeting for introduction.
Okay, item 6A is deleted from the agenda, then. It's continued to at least January 10th, then. Okay. 2011. That sounds weird, doesn't it?
Mayor?
Yes.
If I might just ask, John, we're not deleting it from the agenda, are we? We are continuing it?
Either way, but it won't be introduced until January the 10th.
Okay, but it won't trigger any additional publication requirements?
No.
Okay.
No.
I use the right. It's deleting from tonight to continue to January 10th, which I know isn't technically correct, but it got the job done. Got your attention. Items 7B through 7E. Sounds weird. Actually, 7G, which includes 7E. Yes, Councilmember Fenter.
I had pulled off item number 7E. I was wondering if we had just a couple of moments to have staff come up and answer a couple of simple questions. It might take care of this whole thing. Is that okay?
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Maybe Ms. Tate and Mr. Schaefer.
Do we get to vote on whether the questions are simple or not? Or
I'm trying to make them simple.
Okay.
Yes, Mayor, council members, good afternoon. I'm Mickey Tate, the tax administrator, and I would be happy to address any questions you have, Councilmember Fenter.
Great, thank you. I've had the opportunity to visit earlier today with these folks, and very reasonable. It's helped me to get to a point to realize, as this is a housekeeping measure for trying to just clean up some language from a legislative action that happened 2.5 years ago, I just wanted to be careful not to put my stamp of approval without really understanding what we were trying to accomplish here. And so my two simple questions would be, who is not affected by this amendment to the tax code? Very simply, I've mentioned some unintended consequences. Who don't we have to worry about having to license?
Well, again, as a reminder that this action today is with regards to the licensing requirements.
Correct.
The action has already been taken back in October 2008, so it's just a housekeeping. As far as who it doesn't apply, it's very difficult to go in. I know we discussed investment properties, and so I did want to clarify that investment properties, when somebody's just buying and holding real estate for a sale at a later date, that their intent is not to rent. They are not indeed renting. They're not receiving any rental income, so they would not be counted as a rental unit under the tax code.
Perfect. That was one of the concerns that I had heard from constituents. How about property owners providing housing needs, special needs for children, adult children, or something along those lines? They're not receiving rental income, but they do have a property in their name. It's not a rental property. Would that be covered? Would those folks have to license?
As far as licensing, no. Again, the tax is based on an assumption of rent. So if there is no rental income, there isn't going to be the resulting tax.
Perfect. And then one, Mayor, if I could, the last one, available for rent. What is that definition, if I could ask Mr. Schaefer, if that'd be okay?
Let's use this one. Mayor, Councilmember Fincher, available for rent is a term of art. It's a phrase that appears in the Model City Tax Code and hence in the Mesa Tax Code. It's an undefined term, and I would like to use this opportunity to clear up that available for rent.
Excuse me. Yes. You can't, if it's a term of art, it's undefined. Which is it?
Unfortunately, when it comes to the,
if it's a term of art, it has a predisposed definition.
I would agree with you.
So for
purposes of most legal discourse, when you say a term of art, it means that it's defined somewhere else in the code. However, this is a, I will just say that this is a phrase, a technical phrase. It's not a term of art. It's a technical phrase that is nonetheless not defined.
Okay,
in the
there
code.
Is no separate definition. We just look.
No,
at, okay.
In fact, that's the point I was trying to make.
I didn't mean to play semantics with you. I just wanted to make sure we were.
No, it is a phrase that appears in the tax code that is undefined.
Separately undefined. Gotcha.
That being the case, available for rent does not mean that someone, as Councilmember Fincher was saying, available for rent does not mean that somebody owns five homes, meaning that should they change their mind tomorrow, they would have five homes available for rent. It means that the person who owns the properties has made a conscious intention, a conscious decision, and intends to actively rent the properties. So available for rent means that they're actually occupied, or there's a broker involved, or that they're somehow held out and that people know they are available for rent.
I see. You know, I really appreciate the patience of staff helping me to learn and get through this. It's actually a very technical area. It's put my mind at ease. I absolutely support how the trying to get the housekeeping done. We have this on record, and you guys are reasonable folks, and I appreciate the way that things have been handled. So I would like to see if it's agreeable to put that back on consent.
Okay, item 70, any objections to putting 70 back on consent? Item 70 is back on consent.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Items 8A through 10A. Unless there's an objection, this is just introduction, but we'll go ahead and delete item 10A. We're not continuing it. I don't see why that's, I don't see us getting six votes, so unless somebody's going to change their vote, no use in going through with the process. Okay? And just for explanation, the actual item on the fireworks, and this is simply for introduction, it was listed twice. One as the approval up or down type of vote, and the other one to implement this on an emergency basis. The difference between the two is not that if you don't approve it under emergency that it is disapproved. It's just that if it's approved under regular circumstances, then you go through all the waiting periods. And in this case, that would mean that this the law, which would include not only the right to use, but if it's approved, but also all the signage and all the other things that go with the sale and the warnings, would go into effect mid-January. So is that January 13th date still hold?
Actually, the council would adopt January 10th, which I think would be our first meeting. So you introduce tonight, you adopt the first meeting in January, it's 30 days after that.
So it'd be February 9th then, or so.
That's correct.
So those would come into effect at that time. The only difference between if it is approved tonight, it'll go into effect on February 9th. That includes both the use and also things that that have included on the sale, such as signage and warnings and those kind of things.
That's correct. If it was adopted with the emergency clause, it would be immediate. But if it's not with the emergency clause, it will be February.
Okay. Either way, it comes into effect. It's just a matter of the timing.
That's correct.
And the reason why, just to be clear, why I asked this to be included was the thought that this had both not only use but also had labeling and other things which which the industry had agreed to put on the sale, which the retailers are not required by state law to put on, and technically we cannot regulate the sale of fireworks, and so I believe that was a trade-off, and even though it would make things legal earlier, it would also bring the warning signs and other things that we wanted included in that also on earlier. But since we can't get that emergency in, we'll just wait till February if that passes and see if that comes in. Yeah, Vice Mayor.
I'm just real curious about the downside of approaching that. If it passes, it's going to take effect in February anyway.
Right.
So why would those who don't want it anyway, once it passes, not be willing to go to make it immediate? Because if you go around town, we have, there's a huge sign there at University and Lindsay on the fence there. They've been selling trees, but they've got big old fireworks signs on that now, sitting out there on the street corner. And we don't have any labeling, any limitations. It's wide open, except that under the current code, they're not allowed to use them, but they're going to be buying them like crazy, and they will be using them. So
my thought process, totally, but you know, you need six votes to get the emergency.
So what would be the downside to at least attempting a vote?
We can do that. Okay. We'll leave it on then. Okay? Anything else?
No.
Great. Thank you very much. Next item is to hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Nothing? Scheduling of meetings and general information. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just remind the council, we do have a study session. Our last meeting of the year was Thursday, December 16th, beginning at 7:30 a.m. Our first meeting of 2011 will be January 6th. That's a Thursday. That'll be a study session. Our first council meeting will be January 10th, Monday, January 10th. And I think we've got reserved on your calendars February 10th and 11th for both a council and staff exercise, as well as a strategic planning process, and you'll get more information about that. And I think both of those are half days.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? A motion to adjourn. Motion to move into executive session. I'm sorry.
Yes.
From the Vice Mayor, a second from Councilmember Fenter. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are moving into executive session. Thank you very much.